Thank you, Deja. As always, so much fun with Play Pensacola. And we'll see you guys out there this weekend to celebrate the 4th of July. Hey, don't go anywhere. We have more for you. Stefan Schmidt is going to host Boat Smart.
News, talk, traffic, and weather. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
It's 10 o'clock.
Elsa no longer a tropical storm. We're tracking a hurricane now. And Matt Gaetz invites Britney Spears to appear before Congress. Those stories after Fox News.
More Americans were hired last month than expected. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. 850,000 jobs created in June.
This is historic progress, pulling our economy out of the worst crisis in 100 years.
President Biden says it is
driven in part by our dramatic progress in vaccinating our nation and beating back the pandemic.
But the unemployment rate did unexpectedly tick up a bit to 5.9%. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh tells Fox Business.
There's still many Americans that were working before the pandemic that are still not back to work. And we're not going to rest till we get all people back to work.
On Wall Street, the Dow's up more than 40 points. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 rose again to record highs. The day after a Nashville police officer resigned, the now ex-cop will plead guilty this morning to voluntary manslaughter for shooting a black man from behind during a chase 3 years ago. Andrew Delke, who's white, could get a 3-year prison sentence while avoiding a looming first-degree murder trial. In Minneapolis, where ex-cop Derek Chauvin was convicted of murder in George Floyd's death, a pushback to the push to defund police, a county judge ordering the city
to immediately hire more police officers, with 730 in place by June of next year. That from a lawsuit filed by residents of Minneapolis, like Kathy Spann.
You hear gunshots every night.
Amid a surge in crime citywide following the 2020 riots and amid an exodus within the Minneapolis police force.
If the officers themselves are feeling as though they have no support to do their jobs, they're leaving their jobs.
The Minneapolis City Attorney's Office says it's reviewing the judge's decision. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
The Supreme Court just took up another case, agreeing to hear a challenge from parents with kids in Christian schools to a tuition assistance program in Maine. The state does not allow taxpayer money to go to religious private education. America's listening to Fox News.
Ad paid for by MPM, non-attorney spokesperson. Attention, this is an important message for anyone diagnosed with Parkinson's disease after being exposed to Paraquat or other similar herbicides. Paraquat is a chemical commonly used by farmers and those that work with or apply herbicides. Residences near agricultural sites are also at risk for exposure. Scientific research showed that exposure to Paraquat close to a residence increased Parkinson's disease risk by 75%. Numerous additional studies confirmed the link between Paraquat and increased risk for Parkinson's. In fact, Paraquat has been banned or limited for use in many other countries around the world. If you or a loved one was diagnosed with Parkinson's after being exposed to Paraquat or other herbicides and suffered side effects, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call us today at 800-217-0545. Our experienced attorneys are ready to fight for you, and you'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call 800-217-0545. Again, that's 800-217-0545.
It's 10:03 at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. It's 84 and partly sunny. I'm Mark Jacobs. Elsa's no longer a tropical storm. Surface observations from Barbados this morning indicating Elsa's maximum sustained winds are now at 75 miles per hour. That makes Elsa a minimal Category 1 hurricane. National Hurricane Center forecast has Elsa reaching the Caribbean by tonight or tomorrow, then sliding up alongside the west coast of the Florida Peninsula. Some models show it moving further to the west, but we'll continue to keep an eye on Elsa as we enter the holiday weekend. A Pensacola man facing charges after a traffic stop in Gulf Breeze early Thursday. Police say 40-year-old Antonio Floyd is charged with possession of a gun by a felon as well as resisting. According to police, Floyd ran when they asked him to get out of a car. A holstered 9mm handgun and small bag of prescription pills found afterward when police searched the vehicle. Four House Republicans inviting Britney Spears to testify before Congress.
The Republicans wrote her a letter this week and said the nation's legal system has mistreated the pop star. They added, "We want to help, and no American should have to go through what she's dealing with." The Republicans who signed on to the letter were Matt Gaetz of Florida, Burgess Owens of Utah, Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, and Andy Biggs of Arizona. Their letter comes as a request from the pop star to remove her father from her conservatorship was denied. I'm Lisa Taylor.
More scattered showers and thunderstorms possible today. Overall, about an 80% chance of rain, with temperatures warming near 87 degrees in the afternoon. Tonight, we will continue with the showers and thunderstorms, about an 80% chance of rain overnight, temperatures dropping near 73. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
84 in Pensacola, it's 87 in Gulf Breeze, 86 in Milton at 10:05. Our next news at 10:30 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3. AM 1620.
Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. This hour is presented by Key Marine, who's responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
I ain't got a high-powered motor. I don't own a wakeboard. I got a 1970 Morton guitar and an outdoor carpet dance floor. I got burgers on the grill and beer on ice, and I'll probably be seeing you soon. I ain't making no waves, ain't starting no fights, just cruising in my pontoon. All I need is...
Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr. It's 10:05 here at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. It's time for Boat Smart. Please call in, text in, 850-437-1620. But let me introduce you to the man himself, ready to steer you in the right direction, Stefan Schmidt. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jenna, and good morning, Pensacola. You are listening to Boat Smart. Like Jenna said, it is a call-in show, so jot that phone number down, 850-437-1620. More than happy to take your calls or texts. You maybe have a question about the school over there at Georgetown Technical College, my classroom, the Marine Service class. Maybe you have a question about your boat. Just give us a call or text. 850-437-1620 is the phone number. Key Marine is our sponsor. Key Marine is located at Northwest Florida. Key Marine is located at 5621 Bower Road here in Pensacola. Phone number 850-492-0487. I'll try to get it right the rest of the show, Jen. I'll tell you what, that didn't come out right.
No.
Happens sometimes.
No, that was absolutely great. So, it's Friday. It's okay.
It is Friday.
You're super excited Friday. For the 4th of July. So we'll cut you a break.
That's okay. You know, it is a live show, so, you know, I can't go back and fix that. But let me tell you this. Key Marine is your Yamaha or Mercury Power Center. Special discounting prices on all Yamaha and Mercury motors. Key Marine specializes in service and repair on all Mercruiser, Mercury, and Yamaha product. They have trained technicians that provide top-notch service and repair. You can also check them out on Facebook as well. I am the Marine instructor over at Georgetown Technical College. Georgetown is located at 2400 Longleaf Drive here in Pensacola. You can get them on the web at georgetowncollege.edu. That's georgetowncollege.edu. The phone number, 850-941-6200. They have a great chat feature on that webpage. We also have right now open enrollment is going, so you can actually still enroll in classes now and until August. So give them a call or give them a chat feature on georgetownscollege.edu. They are more than happy to help you with that. We do have scholarships available. You must pre-qualify for those. VA and Pell Grants are also available. So the open enrollment portion, it's a good time right now to get over there to Georgetown. They're there Monday through Thursday right now. They're working 4 days a week. But if you go to that chat feature, somebody's probably monitoring that quite often, so you can check that out. But it is open enrollment, and I highly recommend, if you're interested in my class over at the Marine Service Technology class over at Georgetown, you probably should get registered as quickly as possible, because we are filling up the slots. I think my waiting list has dropped down a little bit, but I'm filling my class up a little more than I normally take because of the demand for the Marine technicians in the industry. So I'm taking on a little more students at this point. So I would get with Georgetown over there and talk to the counselors and see about getting into my class or maybe a class of your choice. So just check them out on the web at georgetownscollege.edu. I tell you, it's been a, a busy week. We have just finished our fourth week of summer school. And right now we're going to take a break. The break is going to be from until the 12th of July. So we worked 4 weeks of June. We're going to take a break until the 12th of July. Then we're going to come back for 2 more weeks and continue our summer school for 2 more weeks. And then very quickly after that, within I think it's about 15 more days, we'll start our regular school season back up in August. So it's been a crazy whirlwind time as far as summer school is concerned, because all my students get a lot of hands-on experience, and they actually didn't want to break. They wanted to keep on going and you know, not stop summer school. They wanted to keep on. They don't like the break idea, but they're taking a break, and I told them to relax and enjoy the break and come back, and we'll work a little harder to make up for that time that we took on the break. So we got a lot of stuff going on over there. We got several jobs that we're doing. I've got several students right now that are working toward Merc Cruiser stern drive, inboards and stern drive stuff, learning how to work on those. So it's really fun to get involved and with the students out in the shop area. I don't typically get that opportunity to spend so much time with each individual student. So the summertime allows me to do that. And I'm able to walk around the shop. It's basically what my day consists of, is walking around the shop, checking on each student as they work on whatever job they have assigned to them, and get real hands-on with the students. So I can show them some techniques. I can show them different ways to do things as far as jobs that they're working on, and just give them some good experience that I've had in my career in the marine industry, and just stuff they can't learn out of books. So we're really, really having a great time in the summer school class, and a lot of these students are advancing quickly, and they will be actually ready to go to work quicker than students that didn't have the ability to do summer school. So we're having a great time over there with summer school. I've got one job in particular. A student had brought his boat in, and he's got some old Mercuries on the back of it. They're 1994 Mercuries, Jenna, and we don't normally work on older stuff like that, but this boat is in pretty decent shape as far as the boat is concerned, but the motors are having some issues, and we're having some fun getting the cutting torch out on this one. We're getting the cutting torch out and the heating things up. Yeah. Students are getting real life hands-on experience. And that's the best part about this, is this is something that other locations that teach marine service technology don't have opportunity to do, because they really don't do hands-on. And I think my students excel because of the hands-on portion of this. And what we're doing is we're trying to pull the power head off of this 150 Mercury. And since it's a 1994 model, wow, that thing's 30 years old almost. We're having some issues pulling the power heads. It's a saltwater boat, so the studs for the power head are actually stuck, and we can't get it off of there. We just have to do some crazy stuff to make this happen. So this is a good lesson for the students, because now what they're learning is they're learning about they're learning techniques of how to free up a power head from a center section, exhaust housing section. And we are having to use a drill, hammers, chisels, a lot of heat. We're using an overhead lift that we're picking up the power head, trying to make it loose. And this thing has literally welded itself together through corrosion. So they're getting a good understanding of corrosion and what it can do to a motor. So we don't give up on that stuff. I remember in my career times that I've had several times power heads or lower units that won't come off of the unit because of corrosion issues. And these techniques you can't learn out of a service manual, and you can't learn them going to a service school, these type techniques. And it's really good for the students to learn this, because they can understand not only corrosion, but the difficulties of removing power heads and gear cases. It could be trim motors, what have you. And what corrosion does to these motors as you introduce them into the saltwater application, right? So what it does for the students, once we're able to get this thing apart, it's going to really make the student understand how we should protect engines against saltwater corrosion, and to make sure that the customer doesn't have these type of problems in the future. Granted, this is a 1994 engine and that we're having to deal with, but this can also happen to a motor that's 5 years old, believe it or not. So there are times in our industry where we're working on these motors and there's nothing that tells us how to fix them. We just have to come up with a plan to do so. So we're working through that. We got the motor hanging right now on the chain, and I've got it lifted up off the trailer. Basically, we're lifting the whole boat up. And when we come back to work on the 12th, we're going to try to address this. I may have to grab a Sawzall or something, maybe the next step. But it is something that students are really having fun doing. The student that owns the boat's not thinking it's that much fun, but he is getting the experience from that. So we got that going on this week, and it is a lot of fun to get that hands-on stuff going there. Again, this is a call-in show. You can call us at 850-437-1620. You can also text us at that number, 850-437-1620. I'm more than happy to answer your questions about your boat. Maybe you have a question about my class, those kind of things. I'm more than happy to help you out with that. Had a couple visitors this week, Jenna. I had some people come by that are interested in my class. Had a student that come by that's in the 10th grade. And hasn't graduated yet, of course. He's in the 10th grade, and he's looking toward his graduation date and what he can do for a living once he, a career choice for living getting out of high school. And in the 10th grade comes by my class.
Oh, I love that.
Well, were you thinking about your career in 10th grade?
Oh, no, sadly. No. So I really admire this young
kid. I'm telling you. Yeah, it really is good. And he came by with his mom and one of our counselors. He brought him down to my area, and I was able to walk him around a little bit and talk to him. And I think it's great that when you see younger people come around and are interested in what are they going to do when they graduate high school. So there's options all over the place, of course, but he actually come to our school, and I want people to understand that you can do that. You can bring your son or your daughter or your grandchild to our school and let them walk around with a counselor or somebody from our administration office or even an instructor to help them to make decisions on their future in any kind of career that we have out at George Stone. And although the student is in the 10th grade, when he goes into the 11th grade, he will be able to go under our dual enrollment program and can actually go to tech school in the afternoon, have his regular classes in the morning, and then come to our school at 2:15 in the afternoon. And he can be there for 3 hours and learn the marine service industry also. So that's a great avenue for students that really don't really know what they want to do. Maybe they just have ideas. Maybe they don't know that they want to go to college. They don't know that they want to, have a career in the marine industry or IT or what have you. They can come by our school and walk around with people and talk to different instructors, and they can talk to students. They can try to get ideas of the different types of careers that are out there as far as a tech school is concerned. So I was really happy talking to him. A very polite young gentleman, and I'm happy that he's interested in the marine industry, or hoping he's interested in the marine industry. When he came up to me, I asked him, I said, "Are you interested in the marine industry because of why?" And he said to me, "I'm looking around at different programs." So I started to ask him questions. I said, "Okay, answer these questions for me. Do you like water?" Right? That's a good question. Do you like water? Because you're going to be around water, right? Do you like swimming, fishing, just riding in boats, those kind of things? And he answered yes to all those questions. And I told him about students that would send me pictures of their work day in a 40-something foot boat with brand new Mercurys or Yamahas on the back, and they're out test running the boats with laptops and stuff. So I've got his interest, you know, and I can give him an idea of what to expect in the marine industry and what to expect in the class. So I was very happy that this young gentleman came by and talked to me, and I'm looking forward to see what kind of decisions he's going to make for a career choice in the future. And I do have his contact information and stuff, so I'll do a follow-up on that. So I've got a text message here. It says, I have a 1997 Yamaha two-stroke outboard. I run it a lot up the Escambia River from the boat ramp under the 90 bridge. It's like brackish water. Do you think I need to flush the motor every time I run in that water? And what kind of stuff can I do to keep the motor running well, like basic maintenance? Okay, that's a great question. A lot of people don't understand the difference between running a motor in saltwater, brackish water, freshwater. Okay, no matter what type of water you run your boat in, I always recommend putting it on the flusher when you get back to your house or back to the boat ramp if it's available at the boat ramp. So even though you may run in saltwater and you're coming back into brackish water, it's still critical that you flush your engine. But let's say you're running in salt water and you come up into fresh water and you run up all the way up the river where you no longer have brackish, you're in the fresh water. It's probably not as important to flush it immediately, but I still recommend flushing the motor. But if you're definitely in brackish water or fresh water, brackish water or salt water, you need to go ahead and flush that motor just like you would if you're running in a saltwater application all the time. If you're doing a long run up the river where it's all fresh water, it's not as critical, but you still need to get it back to your house or your boat ramp. You need to rinse it off. You need to use a mild soap or detergent to clean off that motor and continue to do your lubrication points and those kind of things just like you would if you're running it in salt water all the time. So it's better, but it still, you know, needs some work and to maintenance type work to make sure that you don't have any issues with that. That's a great question. I appreciate that. I hope I understand that. You got a 1997 two-stroke. That's great. That tells you those motors will keep on running as long as you're taking care of them, you know? So that's a great, great text message, and I appreciate that question. Thank you very much. So as we transitioning now out of our summer school classes, like I say, we got two more weeks, I start thinking about my new year coming up. So I'm already preparing for the new year. And when I say new year, people think January 1st, right?
Right.
Yeah. When teachers think, yeah, teachers, we think new year as school years, a little different for us.
Yeah, so August, when we talked,
yeah, I've said new year and they're like, when's the new year? It's not new year. You know, we're still in July here. Well, I'm talking about the new school year because we start planning toward that. So I start looking around and thinking of things that I need to do or change as I transition into the new school year. And I'll be honest with you, right now we are in very good shape in the Marine Service class with all our sponsors, with Yamaha sponsorship, the Mercury sponsorship, and the people that are helping us. We are really, really in good shape as we enter the new school year. And when I get ready for the new school year, we'll talk about that more as we move into it. I just start thinking about all the new students that are coming into class and the potential that they have and what I need to do to help them move forward into the new year. So, you know, it's a good time for us. Love summer school. I love teaching one-on-one, which I don't always have the opportunity to do that, but it is a great time for us right now doing our summer school class. This is a call-in show. You can call us at 850-437-1620 is the phone number. You can also text that number, 850-437-1620. I love getting y'all's calls and texts when I'm on the show. And last week, Jenna, and you know for a fact that I had a couple of texts late in the show. And I actually yes. called the people back after the show. I got on my phone and I called or texted the people back. And the last one, the gentleman, I think we were going off air, and I just wanted to touch base on this hour meter question that we have, because I want to explain our meters as we got a few minutes left in the show and talk about the new motors versus older motors that don't have the capability of an ECM where you can't hook a laptop to a motor and download hours. So if a customer is interested in an hour meter on their boat and they have an older engine, what we really use hour meters for, whether it's an older motor or a new motor, is for maintenance intervals. They really aren't designed to give a customer an understanding of how many hours are on the motor. Okay. They really give just a runtime, and many times they give runtime with your key switch on. So on an hour meter, if you turn your key switch on and you're not running your motor, the hour meter keeps running, keeps ticking along. Okay. So they're not good for, let's say I'm going to resell my boat and my hour meter shows that I have 250 hours on a boat that's, you know, 5 years old. Okay. You can't really go by that hour meter as far as a resale type value of hours or time on your engine. They're really just good for your maintenance intervals. Okay. So how much time am I spending out on the water running my engine, and how much time has it been since I've done the last maintenance? So they're really good for that. Okay. Nowadays, the motors that we have, the computer on the engine will actually have it. If you want to call it an hour meter, they have run times on the computer that the technician and some gauges can do this now. And you can do it from your iPads or your phones now on a lot of applications where the customer can even look at their run times on the engine or the hours on the engine off the ECM. Now that runtime or clocking of the hours is different than an actual hour meter you may have under your dash or on your gauge cluster. Okay, these ECMs now on these engines actually give you complete runtimes. So not whether the motor is just the key on, but actually the amount of time this engine is running at certain RPMs. So when you look at these runtimes versus an hour meter type time, it's way different than a hour meter that you have on a dash. So I recommend, if you were interested in using an hour meter, you go ahead and do that as a interval type maintenance type thing. But you also can use a laptop or a phone to download that. So we got Larry on the phone. I'm going to take his call if we can. Hopefully we can do that. Can we take his call, Jenna?
Yeah, go right ahead, Larry. Welcome to the Boat Smart.
Yes, and thanks for information you're putting out. I caught the very end of the idea of flushing the motor. Most, and not just Yamaha's, but most engines have the attachment where you can screw the hose into it and you can flush the motor without running it. Now, that doesn't take the place of putting your muffs on the bottom and running the motor, does it?
Well, there's a couple thoughts on that. And if you look at your owner's manual will tell you not to run the motor on that type of flusher, okay? A lot of motors will not flush well on flushers depending on how much water pressure you have, so they may not pick up water. Yamahas are very difficult to pick up water on muffs. So if you own a Yamaha, I have a very hard time getting it to pick up water on the flushettes or the muffs. Okay. So here's what I'm going to tell you. You can flush it on that hose fitting. And if you, as long as you have enough water pressure and as long as you have enough water flow rate, you can crank up your engine and idle it only and allow a better flush, in my opinion. Now, if you talk to the manufacturers, they're going to tell you that flush will work without running the motor. The way it's designed, it's supposed to work. As an old school technician or mechanic, I think the motor should be heated up to allow the thermostat to open and get some things moving around. That's my opinion, okay? So you can do it either way, but you need to make sure you got plenty of water flow. Okay.
I didn't think you got water into the impeller unless you ran the motor. Water goes through that impeller even if you just flush it without cranking it?
It does flush down through there. So gravity feeds it down through there. So yes, sir, it will. Again, you know, that's two ways to do it. So yeah, it will. You get just enough water to lubricate it. Yes, sir. I appreciate you listening. Thank you very much. Wow, here we go. And I managed to talk through the entire program again, Jenna.
That was good, though. You squeezed in Larry and got those questions answered, and we appreciate everybody calling in and texting in. So, yeah, yep. It was great.
So I want to thank my listeners for listening, and I also want to get this right this time.